Winslow Watson was a naturalist that wrote extensively about the mines here in the latter part of the 19th century. Here, he makes what was certainly a dirty, back-breaking job seem almost magical. I descended the perpendicular shaft in an iron bucket, accompanied by the courteous agent at the mine. The stopping of the bucket at the foot was so gentle and noiseless that I was scarcely aware the descent of more than 300 feet had ended. A strange, weird, and thrilling spectacle was revealed. There was no noise but the ceaseless clink of the hammer and the jarring of the machinery. Along the different chambers, a series of twinkling lamps shining more and more dimly as the long lines receded in the deep darkness were sufficient to reveal the low, dark, arched roofs supported by massive and glittering Doric columns. These columns stand about 100 feet apart and average 16 feet square. They are chiefly formed of solid ore, a most costly material, as each column contains about 1,000 tons of ore. This town park is home to equipment that belonged to the Republic Steel Corporation, which was the last of the iron companies in Moriah. Tom Scazzafava, the longtime supervisor of Moriah, with roots that go back to his Italian grandfather, the Padrone, created this park with a desire to convey the mining heritage.
Witherby and the tools that are on display here are the little ore skip car that was used actually in the mines, and that's how they would get the ore in and out on these cars like you see here. The big sheave at top, that was where the cables were attached up at the top of, I don't believe that was at the top of Don B. I'm not sure what shaft it was on. You know, everything that you see here was critical. The railroad display was critical to, that's our history. How many Mineville's are there in the world? I think two. There's one other Mineville somewhere. How do you get a name of a hamlet of Mineville? Well, you mine there. Witherby was named after the Witherbys.